Everyone, welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home, are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I'm always excited to bring a fellow podcaster on the show. Whitney Hawthorne is the mom of very handsome boys. And just like any other mom, she wears a lot of hats. She's a professional speaker, author, certified coach, podcast host, Fortune 500 executive, a productivity expert, successful entrepreneur, self-care guru, and most importantly, a passionate mom and wife. Whenever she faces self-doubts of being a mom, she'd always recall how her mom raised her, how her mom pushed her to be a strong woman and even let her travel alone at the age of 15. She knows very well the struggles of being a mom in the house and being a working mom, but she doesn't let the challenges stop her from helping other moms. She's more than blessed to have the knowledge and courage to lead moms to their best life ever. And she's determined to work and inspire one working mom at a time. So with all that being said, Whitney, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Hi, Dori. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you. And I want to share, Whitney's podcast is the Savvy Working Mom Podcast. So I'm going to start with that. Tell us how you decided to start podcasting and what do you share?
Yeah, so after having my first son, so I work in corporate, and after having my first son, going back to work, I realized there just weren't enough resources out there speaking to me as a full woman. The way that I see it is when I had my son, I also became a mother. I grew. I didn't just become a mom, right? It's not like my entire identity shifted and now I'm only a mom. I grew and added this new interesting part to myself. And I was looking for resources to help me figure out how to manage this new part, right? This growth of Whitney, how to evolve. And I found a lot of resources on parenting. And I found a lot of resources, of course, on career development for women. But I didn't see a lot of resource out there talking to me as a career-focused, business-focused woman who also happens to be a mother. And so I thought, wow, let me start asking more people about this. And I started asking all the moms that I know who work, how are you figuring this out? How did you figure this out? And this is really hard. Is it just me? And the response I always got was, no, it's hard. Like, it's really hard. And sometimes, you know, it would come in a hushed tone, like, yeah, this is so hard. And sometimes it would come in a, I cannot believe how effing hard this is, right? So it's kind of like this always back and forth, but always this ongoing idea that, you know, it's not easy. And I thought to myself, well, why aren't we talking about this more? Why aren't we sharing how it's hard, but also sharing the different tips, tricks, and hacks that work for us to make this whole momming and working thing come together? And so I started a blog called The Savvy Working Mom. And the blog evolved into the podcast now that I have The Savvy Working Mom. My husband has actually been a podcaster for 5 years. He has a drumming podcast. And he was like, you should just look at doing this in a podcast. You love to talk. You love to interview people. You want to tell people stories. And so on the blog, every other week, I tell the story of another working mom right through an interview. So really, she tells her story and I just ask the questions. And then on the off weeks, on the other weeks, I just give a quick, you know, 10 minutes or less tip, trick, or hack, advice, mindset shift to help working moms thrive in their life.
You know, it's so interesting to me because we talk about that work-life balance. And some people talk about it like, oh, of course, there's a wonderful balance. And then the majority of people is like, that's a total myth. It's a juggling act because you're throwing so many balls in the air. So let's talk about that myth of that work-life balance and how you kind of develop that quote-unquote balance that so many of us are craving out there.
Yes, I love that you just said that work-life balance is a myth. It is. It's a myth. It's malarkey. I actually just did a TED talk, and in that, one of the things I say is work-life balance is a myth because it's just not real. Like, what are you even trying to balance? It's not the hours in the day. You can't actually measure balancing your energy. And the thing that frustrates me most about this idea of work-life balance is that it makes it as if work is one thing and life is everything else. But life is a lot of different things for us, right? Life is the relationship we have with our children and the development and the work that we put into our children. It's parenting, right? It's our relationships with our significant others, our partners, our spouses, ourselves. If you're single, ready to mingle, nothing wrong with that. Definitely had a time like that in my life. And then, but it's also, right, it's managing your finances. It's your personal development. It's your spirituality. Life is so much more than just one bucket. And so the idea, not only that you need to balance these intangible things, but that you would split your entire being between work and everything else, just it's ludicrous. And it sets you up for failure, right? And I truly believe we should all set ourselves up for success. And that belief, it sets you up for failure. So I think how I approach this and what I talk to women about is the idea that it's not so much balance that we're looking for, it's more harmony. I like the idea of harmony, creating work-life harmony. And that harmony really has to go across all areas of your life, right? And if you think about it like a beautiful piece of music, at any given point in time, some areas are going to require a solo. And then that solo is going to kind of die down. And then something might crescendo up, right? Crescendo is like when the music gets really loud really quickly, and then it might come back down. And that's kind of how life is. And if we can get all those different areas to work together like a beautiful piece of music, then we'll be in a much better place. We'll be in a better place to set ourselves up for success, for joy, to have peace, to be able to give ourselves grace as we work through all of the challenge that is being a mom and also working.
I love how you're talking about the harmony and that it's almost like music, because it really is true. There is so much out there. And so often as moms, we get lost in the noise of everything going on around us. And if this last year of our lives has taught us anything, it is that the women who've been working from home, it's why Word of Mom began. To give women like us a voice, because of the doubt that everybody throws on you. Oh, you're working from home, like you're dabbling in, you know, you're playing at this. When people wound up having to shift like this to working from home, boy, did it validate all of us who've been doing this for a very long time. Because people think because you're working from home, oh, you're watching TV, you're doing this, you're doing that. No, you're working. You're working. And doesn't matter that your office might be your kitchen table. It's just now that office is being shared by your kids, your significant other. And it's so often that your significant other is the biggest pain in the neck. The kids have gotten used to you working from home. It's the significant other. It's like, honey, I'm working. Oh, but babe, yes. Can you do that? No, honey, I'm working. Just give me a moment. It's so... Right.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. My husband will come up to me. So we used to live in Brooklyn and we were in a 2-bedroom apartment with, you know, 2 littles, and it just was not a lot of space. And so I would work in the bedroom with the door closed, in the living room, sometimes in the bathroom, like wherever we could find the space, depending on what was going on in the house. And now we live in Salt Lake City and we got a whole house, like a whole house with more than one bathroom. And I have my very own office, which is amazing. But the days that I work from home, because I do work from home still quite a bit, you know, I'll hear the door open and he'll be like, hey, babe, so the electric bill, like what? Can this wait? I'm on a call. Or he'll just open the door and he'll come in and then start like rearranging things. You know, like he saw something downstairs and he wants to bring it upstairs and put it in my office. And it's just like, I'm on a call. Literally thousands of people report into me and I'm like, I'm on a Zoom talking to thousands of people and you're just walking in, da-da-da-da-da, like putting things away. And it's like, I appreciate that you want to help me keep my space clean and keep my environment looking good, but not in the middle of the workday, because it is a workday. I am working.
You know, it's funny. We had a long time ago, Dr. Barnsley Brown on the show, and she gave 5 tips for mompreneurs. And this is a Southern woman, just this beautiful accent. And she's like, your first tip is tapping y'all in a bitch. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be the conversation I thought. And she's like, when you have your office, she said, you put that card on your door that lets you know that you are not to be disturbed at this point. I don't care unless you come in with your right hand in your left hand because it got severed, then you can knock on my door. But other than that, and you know what? It's really true. And sometimes you have to do that for the grown-up in the house.
Yes.
It's like, honey, the sock's on the door. You can't come in right now because I'm actually talking, like you said, to thousands of people. It's, you know, and again, the myth of the work-life balance. It's, you know, it's throwing the balls in the air. It's throwing the spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks. So with everything that you're sharing with your Savvy Mom podcast, maybe you can share a couple of things that you share as far as achieving goals and looking at that motivation and willpower not being the answer to what is keeping you from being successful.
Yes, I can definitely share that. So I think goals, let's start with the goals. It's really important to have goals in life because otherwise you just kind of end up doing. And I think as mamas, it's just so easy for us to get in the grind and the hustle. If we've got businesses and we've got kids, it's just like day to day putting out the fires, doing the things that need to get done. And you can lose sight of the bigger picture. So goals help you keep you tied to that bigger picture. They also help you to feel good at the end of each week, right? Because you look back and the week is a blur, like who knows what happened. And then you go, oh, but I did achieve my goal, right? I got this thing I've done that I wanted to get done this week. And then you can go to bed on a Friday night or wake up on a Saturday morning feeling good about the week. And that's what I just want everyone to feel better. I feel like the world is in such a crazy place and it is such a challenge for mamas who work to find joy. Like, let's just do the little things that help us to feel better. And remembering and achieving goals is one of them. At least for me, I am definitely one of those type A type people though. And so I think setting goals is really important. And one of the most important things that we can do, especially as business owners, is to set goals that scare the pants right off of us. I think it's really important to have a goal that makes you go, oh, yikes. Like, because when you have that, it will help you to actually be more motivated to achieve if you do the next things that I'm going to talk about. But having a goal that doesn't truly excite you, that doesn't excite you to the point of being scared a little bit, will never get you to the furthest that you can go, right? It'll never help you evolve to be your best self. So you got to make it big and very, very scary. And if it's not scary, go back and make it bigger, right? If you are someone who's like, oh, I'd like to lose, I just use the weight loss thing because I feel like everybody can relate to it. Some people are weight gain, some people are weight loss, but you're like, oh gosh, I want to lose 10 pounds. And it's like, okay, 10 pounds, cool. Are you excited about that? Like, what happens to your life when you lose 10 pounds? Well, you know, I get to check the box that I did this thing that I've been saying I want to do. And then you push back a little and it's like, well, is that really what you want? Or do you really want to lose 25, but you're afraid to say it because that's a big lofty goal, right? And it's like, oh yeah, I want to lose 25. Well, what happens when you lose 25? Well, I could get off my meds. I would have more energy with my kids. And then it really starts to come the bigger why. And that's what scary goals do. Same with business. I feel like when you start thinking about driving revenue and reaching people. So I have a goal this year and I had to do that to myself because I started out this year saying, you know, I want to reach 50,000 women. And what happens when you reach 50,000 women? Well, I know then I'll help 50,000 women, but it wasn't enough, right? It wasn't that scary. And I said, you know what? I want to reach, actually what I really want to do is reach 1 million women. And when I do that, I will change the world. Like, I will help to change the world. And so that, it for me is, it's a bigger goal. And it's one that has opened my possibilities of achieving more, because when you start to think that big, you have to figure out different ways, right? You have to unconstrain yourself to be able to achieve something so big. And so this is then what comes where willpower and motivation aren't actually, like, they're not. They are, for me, willpower and motivation are very much like the sugar high of, I used to be a personal trainer, so I've got lots of food references and workout references and things like this. But, you know, willpower and motivation are the sugar high of goal setting. You set your goal and you're like all excited and you've got the willpower and you've got the motivation, and it lasts for, like, if you're lucky, a good week, and then it's gone. But your goal still isn't achieved because it's a big goal, and big goals usually take a minute to come to fruition. And so what really you need to achieve your big goals is a plan, support, and then to continue to take action. It's a boring, it is the eat your vegetables of goal setting, but that is really what you need. If you have that plan, like when you've got all your willpower and motivation, use that energy, channel it into writing out a plan. Get a good plan in place. Then get a support system in place. Get someone or someones who will help you to, one, feel good about your ability to achieve your goal, and two, who can help you where you need the help, right? Look at your plan and see what you're not great at. For example, I'm not great. I realized in growing my podcast, I'm the worst at scheduling things. So I now have someone who helps me to schedule things. And when I first got started, I was a bit of a Luddite and like, how do you work this Instagram thing? I mean, this was years ago, but still. And my little cousin helped me out, right? She showed me how to do it. You know, I got the support I needed to start to grow my business. And that was based on the plan that I had, right? So have your plan, get the support. And then the big thing, the thing that makes all the difference is just to take action. Every day, consistently take action. Even if you're just moving forward one step at a time, a half a step at a time, a quarter step at a time, leaning only in the direction forward, then you are going to be closer to your goal than if you weren't. And you don't need willpower and motivation to take a small action. You just need to do it.
On that note, we are going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
Have you been curious about CBD? Maybe you heard it helps relieve stress and balance your body, but you're not sure where to start? The most important thing when you're thinking about CBD is choosing a brand you trust and feel confident in. Altwell is a high quality and effective CBD line. It's a family business with four generations in the wellness industry, and they poured all their experience, knowledge, and passion into making modern wellness attainable. Altwell uses only the highest quality, ethically grown hemp, carefully selected from Colorado farms. They triple test every product, and with every purchase, you can access a lab report so you can see exactly what you're getting. If you're new to CBD, a great place to start is with topicals like Altwell's balms and lotions to help ease achy muscles and their serums to moisturize and brighten your skin. Altwell is offering Word of Mom listeners a special discount so you can try it for yourself. All you have to do is go to altwell.com and use code ALTWELLMOM at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply.
She is brave. She is strong. She is you. Because you're that woman who's got a product or a service that you're looking to promote, or you're out there seeking to support other women in business. Mompreneur marketers are here to help women learn, network, and build the businesses of their dreams, because when you win, we win.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Don't let the name fool you, because stadiumbags.com has a line of clear bags that enable you to use your phone and your smart devices without removing them from your bag. Not only that, but the product is so good it'll stand up to the cleaning solvents that you need to use now to make sure that when you come home safely. So take a look at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we're your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Whitney Hawthorne, who is the host of the Savvy Working Mom podcast. And now I actually want to kind of shift this conversation to the book that you have that you're going to be sharing with our listeners, The Self-Care for Busy Moms. Because I think that this is a really great ebook. One of my favorite things about it is that it's very short and sweet, and it gives actual doable things. I like that you broke down, if you have 1 minute, breathe. 4 minutes, dance. Little bitty things, because let's face it, as moms, the last person you're thinking about is yourself. We get pushed back. That job of mom, we are the last person on the list that gets taken care of. And I think it's very important that we shift that focus. So what was your impetus in writing this? And then let's talk a little more about it.
Sure. So I started out thinking, wow, what do moms need? Like, what do we need more of? And self-care, right? But it's a big old theme. And I think when I go on social media and you know, if you look up the hashtag self-care, you see people, you know, taking a bath with their feet up on the beach. And I'm like, taking a bath, that is not self. Who's going to clean the tub after? That's not exciting to me. I don't feel like this is self-care. And so I started thinking, wow, you know, we need something better for moms out there to talk about self-care. And I do believe that at the end of the day, when mamas put themselves first, everything around them gets better. When you put yourself first, you can be a better worker. You can be a better boss. You can be a better mama. You can be a better partner, a better daughter. You are better when you fill your cup first, right? You can't pour from an empty cup, as they say. And so I thought, let me put together something that will help mothers take better care of themselves, to really truly practice self-care. And then I started thinking about, like, what are my own limitations, and all the moms that I've talked to, what are the limitations that they have when it comes to this idea of self-care? And it came down to two things. Either all the ideas that they could come up with were too expensive, spa day. Not everyone's got $500, $600 to just take a half day, or the time, really, but first expense, right? It's like, these things are really cool, but they're also really expensive. Not everyone has $80 to go get a special fancy manicure, right? Manicure and pedicure. Hopefully you're in a not just a manicure costs $80. But, you know, the cost, it came down to cost. And then it also came down to time. Right. And time is the biggest one, because as mamas, we often are just, you know, we're fighting the clock for each day, because there's just a lot going on. There are a lot of people who need things from us. And to your point, we don't, even though we're always thinking about ourselves, right, we're not always putting ourselves first, right? Our kids come first, delivering at work comes first, supporting our partners, keeping the house clean, all these things start to come first. And then when it gets time to bed, you just like pass out on the couch because you can't do anything more. And so I thought, okay, can I put together a resource to help mom find a better way to take care of themselves that shows ways that are not expensive, and also ways that, like, no matter how much time you have, because we all have a minute, we can all find a minute in the day. No matter how much time you have, you can find an activity. There's something you can do for yourself. And I wanted to be sure also to keep it, you know, short and sweet, so to speak. It's less than 50 pages, and that includes pictures, so that you could get through it easily and quickly and start to take action. And the way that it's set up is there are a few different ideas in there, and they're listed in a way. It's like, if you've got a minute, if you've got 2 minutes, if you've got 4 minutes, if you've got 5 minutes, depending on how much time you have, you can pick an activity based on the time that you have, as well as some of, like, my bigger tips, tricks, and hacks that have come together to help me take better care of myself, like creating a self-care kit. That's like one of my favorite ones, because the one thing that we don't talk about, like, talk about not having so much money to do all the self-care things we like to do, not having so much time, but there's also just the mental energy, like having the mental energy to think mm-hmm. about, what am I going to do that, now that I found this 5 minutes of silence, what am I going to do to help myself, to take care of myself? And that's where a self-care kit comes in for me. It's just a little bag where you put all the things that you love that help you to relax in there. In mine, I've got some essential oils. I've got a scented candle. I've got a little bit of white chocolate. I don't like regular chocolate. I'm weird like that, but I do have a little bit of white chocolate. I've got a postcard and a stamp and a pen, because I like to send postcards. It makes me feel nice to do that. I've got a journal. I've got some nail polish with little nail polish remover pads. And, you know, and I keep it under my bed. And then if I find that I have time to do something nice for myself, I go in and I open it up, and I'm like, oh, what of all these things that are in here can I do right now? And then it helps me to really not have to waste time thinking about spending, you know, it's like when you scroll through Netflix or Hulu and you spend an hour trying to find a half hour show. I don't have to spend 20 minutes trying to figure out how I'm going to take care of myself for five.
I like that. One of the things I really like is that self-care is not always about doing. Sometimes it's about not doing, and talking about delegating. I think one of the hardest things as moms, and often as business women, is delegating out responsibilities. Because, you know, I remember my sister-in-law, oh, well, he's not going to do it right. And I was like, no, he's going to do it differently. There's no right and wrong here. And if you make right and wrong, all you do is put the burden on yourself to do everything.
So true.
How do we get to that place? How do you find that security? Because I think very often it's being insecure that stops you from letting other people do things. What if they do it better? We fall into that high school mentality of, you know, you're going to steal my boyfriend kind of a thing. When it comes to that, how do you break out of that shell
yes.
for yourself?
Yes, it's so true. Delegation is so important. There's just too much on our plates as mamas. We're juggling way too many balls for us to juggle them all and keep them all in the air. And the way that you then make that happen as you pass some of those balls off to someone else. And I think as women, there's also this idea, there's fear for sure. I think a lot of people worry that, oh, they're going to do it better than me, especially when it comes to work, right? They're going to do it better than me, and then I'm not going to have value for my company. And also, I think there's a bit of feeling like it's selfish to delegate. Society, I really feel like, has set it up where women are valued for what we can do for others instead of who we are intrinsically. And so when you're not doing things for others, when you're instead asking others to do things for you, it can feel weird and like you're less than, or like something's wrong with you because you can't do all the things. And it can also feel selfish. But at the end of the day, delegation is not selfish. And there's two really big reasons that I say this. The first is delegation gives someone else the opportunity to learn how to do something. And teaching people, helping them to learn, grow, and evolve is not selfish. It's the opposite of selfish. And also, by continuing to do the things that you're not great at, by continuing to do the things that keep you away from doing the things that you do amazingly, you really do limit what you can give to the world. And that's selfish. So delegation frees you up to be able to do both of those things, to teach others, to help them learn, grow, and evolve, and also to let you give your best to the world, which is the opposite of selfish. And so I think if you can approach delegation in that way, it will help you to feel better about, you know, passing some of those balls that you're juggling off to someone else.
What a perfect way to wrap up this conversation. What a high note. What would you like to leave our listeners with, Whitney, as we are wrapping up?
Sure. I would just love to say that you are amazing. I truly believe that working mothers, mompreneurs, business moms, moms who work in, you know, our essential worker moms, we are the backbone of society, right? We are contributing to the economy. We are raising the next generation. And when we do better, the world does better. And so do what it takes to make your world better, even if that means putting yourself first. And I would just, you know, if you want to hear more from me, I'd love to hear from you. I've offered a free gift to you, the ebook that that Dori just talked about. That's free to you. I believe she'll put it in the show notes. And you can find me at The Savvy Working Mom on Instagram and Facebook. And I would love for you to come and listen to my podcast and let me know what you think about it, what tips, tricks, and hacks more I can be offering to help make your world better.
Love it. Please do tune in to the show, because you know what? The more we share, the more we learn, and we empower each other. And it's really what this is all about. It really, truly is. And I thank you for the work that you are doing, because I think that you are sharing amazing tips and tricks. This is a great ebook. The links will be there. So download this for yourself, because believe me, it's a fun read. It's an easy read, and you can just grab things where you need them right now, because we talk about it all the time. Self-care is not selfish. And as moms and the women, everything revolves around us. We really are that nucleus. And if your world isn't revolving correctly for you, it isn't going to benefit anyone else. So take these tips and tricks and get out there and shine your light. So Whitney, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your Savvy Mom ideas and podcast. I love it. I really do. Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And to all of you tuning in, thanks to Altwell, our fabulous sponsors. Take advantage of that 25% off. Go to altwell.com, use the Altwell Mom, and it'll get you 25% off your first order. And we are going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true.
She